Good morning. Good morning. Thomas Christensen from Netcompany. Very happy to be here. We want to do a session that may be a little different. Of course, we will do some technical stuff here, but I want to start maybe talking a little bit about the business side of the wallet, because I think it's not being spoken about quite enough. So I'm going to jump into it. So I'm going to do a quick introduction of who we are. And then talk a little bit about how we see the world, and then I'll throw it to Michael, who will dive into the more technical part of how do we actually see some of these ecosystems work, especially with the amount of legacy that we are working with out there. So Netcompany is a 25-year young company, grew out of a small startup, today about 8,000 people, primarily operating in the northern part of Europe, but one of the things that makes us maybe a little interesting is we are one of the biggest ITC companies here in the EU, providing services to the EU institutions. And amongst others, we are, together with the Commission, developing the ARF, as I now know we call it, for the EU DI wallet. So we have worked closely with the Commission here for a number of years, trying to hit it. And obviously, we work with the large-scale pilots, and so we are pretty engaged in this. Now, one of the things that we are seeing is I understand the value of having a driver's license. I've had it for close to 10 years, and my health card. It does not revolutionize the world. I'm sorry, guys. It doesn't. So if we're going to really drive value out of the wallet, we got to think broader. We got to think in these industries. We got to think in how we tie together industries. How can we use wallet certificates across the way we operate in business as well as our private lives. So this is what we really spend a lot of time doing. There will be plenty of people developing wallets, you know, but I don't think there will be that many people developing the infrastructure to basically enable these ecosystems to function and function quick and be adaptable. So that's what we're really working on, and that's what Michael is going to say a lot more about. Now, we have obviously done a lot around public sector and how we help citizens. So Denmark is one of the most digitized countries in the world. I think we're number one measured on the UN, and we are very digitized. We've had ID for many, many years, and an ID that is used both by the private and the public sector. So we use one ID for everything. And when I go in and look, how often do we use it? Just in our digital communication, on an average, a Dane user ID 17 times a month logging in, checking their digital communication with government, with banking, insurance. So we can see how these ecosystems really start working once you start having these standard ways of using these different things. So some of that has really inspired us. We've done the Corona Pass. We've done a lot of application that is related to the wallet. So we see how this works. And that's where we see this is going to make a huge difference. So we work with education. We work with transport, we work with banking, and this is where we see really accelerators for this. So you will hear Michael talk more about how do we get in and basically enable these type of applications in different industries. With that, I'll throw it to Michael. I think you're going to get
a swap here.
We'll do a mic swap.
Great. Well, my name is Michael, and I will be talking about the ecosystems that we just heard a little bit about. Sorry. As Thomas mentioned it, we are a Netcompany, and we are working on the toolbox for the EU Commission, the toolbox for the EU DI wallet. This toolbox is meant to help organizations, communities, industries to hook in to the EUDI wallet ecosystems when it is being implemented. That is one part of the task. Another part is us, Netcompany as a business, reaching out to countries, organizations, and this is both the private and public sector, talking with them regarding, okay, the EUDI wallet, the EIDAS2 will be a reality soon. How are you going to be compliant with it? How are you going to be taking advantage of the EUDI wallet as an infrastructure in your own country? All countries have their own ecosystems now, and they are at different maturement levels, of course, and they have done quite a lot of investments in these infrastructures and ecosystems. They're not willing to throw that away, so they need to figure out, okay, how do we create the synergy effect with what we have, what do we have to throw away, and how can we take advantage of the wallet as an enabler in our future digitization. So we are spending quite a lot of time traveling around, talking with these organizations, and understanding their challenges, opportunities, etc. What's really interesting about EIDAS2 and the EUDI wallet, if you don't know, the EUDI wallet is part of the EIDAS2, is that it invites the collaboration between public and private sector. So, as Thomas mentioned it, this is very natural in Denmark. It's been done for many years. It's very easy for citizens when they have one way to do things, regardless if it's in your communication and your flows, user flows with the public sector or the private sector, so banking and pension. Usually, industries with a high level of compliance requirements. This session is about how can we hook into these EUDI ecosystems. So, and with an emphasis on legacy systems. So when I say legacy system, what do I mean by that? I mean older systems that has probably served a lot of, most of its value already. It is now a critical part of an organization's business processes. Not something that you can remove, but they also usually come with the cost of a high friction when they want to change business flows, business processes. And that, in some cases, hurts these businesses, but have a hard time finding their way out of it. It's part of some of the deliveries or projects that we do is helping organizations coming out of a legacy system or doing a legacy transformation. One of the challenges we see is, and we can see regarding specifically for the EUDI wallet, is a lot of the open source communities focus very much on the current technologies, the current languages, also because the standards are written for this, but that makes it hard for to embrace these new technologies when you have an old system built 30 years ago, and you need a tool to help you come across these challenges, and we'll get back to that in a second. These older systems are usually not very user process specific. They are usually very much transaction based on like financial transaction, etc. Something where you have a abstraction away from the user, while a distributed architecture like the wallet, you have the user in the flows. So they are looking at, you have a challenge here from a technical perspective of how do you move these business processes to the user, the citizen or the customer, depending on your user group. But looking at the benefits of using this, of embracing the wallet, is that you get a much better understanding of your business processes. You get a much better understanding of your data. And you also have a very, the last point here is, you have an opportunity to have an easier way of getting compliant, like GDPR, for instance. Older systems, the data they have of citizens or customers, for instance in a bank, is probably, a lot of it is in unstructured data. When I say unstructured data, it could be a document, like a letter, a contract. And the data the sensitive data could be just text in that document. It's very hard to be compliant because you have a hard time as an organization knowing what data do I have sensitive data of this person. So if that person's request to get this data deleted, what documents do I have to delete? When you're going over and using more structured, like verifiable credentials, where you have specific attributes with the sensitive data, it can become an easier task to be compliant. So I'll give an example. A couple of 3 or 4 years ago, I was involved in a large legacy transformation program in Denmark. This was a system that was responsible for paying out salary to about 1 million people. This was for a public sector organization. So one of the issues were, it was a very old system, and it was a mainframe system written mostly in COBOL code. It's okay because you can still find a lot of people who knows this language. That's good, but the rules for the salary was written in a completely proprietary language, and very few people knew about this. It took 5 years to master, and the youngest person was 58 years old. And you know, like, yeah. And every time legislation changed or unions they change their salary rules and options, and this happened all the time, they needed these people to implement these rules into the system to be able to pay out salary. And if you don't pay out salary, people are going to be angry very quickly. So it was a very hard time for they could see, okay, we are on a burning platform. We need to get this modernized, but the modernization had been extended over years. So it was a public system, so it needs to go out in tendering, of course, but they didn't know what the system could do. The documentation was documentation state was very bad, so it had been postponed for a number of years, and that had prevented the modernization of this system. So what had to be done was we have to map all the processes, we have to map all the functionality, get it documented so that we can transition it. So this is what I'm trying to illustrate here in a more generic way. There can be many reasons why you want to sunset your legacy systems. Some of it is you want to not be on a burning platform. Other times you just want to be more flexible and more agile in your building solutions. But you do it in, if you map out the functionality, you can also transition this iteratively. And that becomes a data governance task. So one of the things that we did regarding this salary payout system were, okay, let's look at this on a complete data specific perspective. What comes in and what comes out? In this case, some reports on how much time people have spent on what task came in. And in the end, there were some transactions on payouts. How much should each individual have? That's a very easy way of seeing, okay, just look at it as a black box. When the new system goes online, we can verify that it works exactly like the old system by looking at what comes in and what goes out. It needs to be identical. And from then on, you can break it down to even smaller bits. And these bits, are these red ones here, could be business processes, could be a data perspective specifically. When you have these maps, this map put out, that you have a good idea of what the system should be able to do, but you also have a good perspective on how to change the system to accommodate new requirements for the business processes. But what has this to do with wallets? Now, these small bits and this data perspective, these processes, is what can enable organizations to create innovation. And the wallet, to embrace the potential that is in the EUDI wallet, sort of common framework of exchanging contextual rich data, that's a data governance task in its essence. So of course there are some technical bits, how do we use, how do we exchange this, but industries, countries, across countries, within countries, they need to figure out what kind of data models, what are the schemas, how do we, what is necessary to exchange. And when you have that and you have a common understanding, you can take advantage. Yes, can take advantage of this infrastructure and exchanging data. This slide here, and I can see I'm a little bit behind schedule, but it shows what the EUDI wallet can become. It can become a infrastructure where citizens carry their data in a common way across all of Europe. It can help businesses exchange data with citizens, but also it can help these businesses, and when I say business, this both public and private sector, of course, these organizations, they no longer need to have expensive integrations with centralized infrastructure. So in Denmark, if I want to have a loan in the bank, I go to the bank, they ask me for consent that they will fetch data from the taxation authorities to figure out how much did I earn last year, so that they can give me an offer for a loan for the car I want. This integration is expensive. One, they had to build it, they also have to maintain it. Now I could just come with my taxation ticket issued by the taxation authorities in Denmark, say, this is what I earned last year, or the last 3 months, and they can verify this. So this is the contextual data. It is something where people can come with different issued credentials, and this can become a profile for that person that they can hand over to a organization and say, hey, give me your best offer. You have all the information you need, and I know exactly what I've shared with you. So it's very much transparent. But one of the challenges, going back to the legacy systems, is these existing systems over here, they are maybe rather hard to change. They takes a long time to change, to support these new processes, as I just mentioned, this payout system. So what we, after our talks with the different authorities and companies, putting in a component that knows about the EUDI protocols or other wallets for that matter, and building a technology that is very flexible in its way to integrate with different systems using different protocols, fetching data from different registries, and then being able to use that data to issue credentials that is compliant with the data models that has been agreed across industries or countries. I will skip this one. This is just looking a bit deeper into this wallet broker that I've called it in this slide, but creating flows that uses the UDI wallet but uses it in processes that exist or with data sources outside their own organizations. This is what can help build